We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey there, Knicks fans. How you doing? It's like got a big smile on my face, even though we've lost several games in a row. I don't know why. You know why? Because I'm happy to be talking to, he keeps me young keeps me feeling positive about the world and what could be and the possibilities of life and youth and all of the shit that has passed me by a long time ago. Chris Percy-Ainen is here with me. Chris, hello.
That's so much. Hello.
Feel intimidated.
I'm excited to be here as well. I mean, the fact that we can sit here after four straight losses.
It is four straight losses.
And just, I still say, like, if you were bought in so quickly after 5-3, you can't buy out as quick after 0-4.
There's a meme that, like, if you weren't with us when, like, it was an old Knicks meme that was floating around. I forget
the anti bandwagoning efforts.
Was it like when you weren't with us when we won 27? Don't be with us when we won 31 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's the if you weren't with me at my, and then it's like Sasha Vujacic in a Knicks starting lineup.
Well, listen, here's the bright side. So we're recording a mailbag pod. I think what I'd like to do, I just decided this on the spot, and I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
Okay.
We did a preseason mailbag pod. It's 12 games in. So a sixth of the season, because this is a 72 game season, obviously. I think we should do one of these. Every 12 games throughout the season. I think that's a good, cause I think that's like, it'll break it up. It's about once a month, maybe a little bit more than once a month. I think that's
okay.
I like it.
All right.
As always, these are real questions from you. The readers, the viewers,
real questions, the listeners, from real Knicks fans,
real questions from real Knicks fans. As always, also, I have not seen these ahead of time. Other than a couple that I tagged Chris on that are, I knew I wanted to answer. So I shouldn't say I haven't seen any of them ahead of time. Let me rephrase that. I have not put any thought into any of the answers, even to the few questions that
you've
I have
only
seen
like at most a quarter of them. And there's, your answers will indeed demonstrate that there was no thought, but no, I'm just
I mean, most of the things I say demonstrate that there's very little thought put in. So I am, here's what I'm going to do. You have a bunch of questions listed. that you picked out that you thought were particularly astute, or from Bernard and you felt bad for him? I'm gonna set 45 minutes on the clock, and when we get to 45 minutes, and we're gonna answer questions for the whole 45 minutes, and if you run through your questions and we still have time left, we'll just go and look and just pick some random shit from the people who responded, and we'll do rapid fire. I think that's a good way to do it. Are you ready for me to hit the start button?
Indeed.
Okay. I have hit the start button. Ask away.
We have a two-parter to start things off. Laundrie Fields and MIP Rowan have, without knowing it, collaborated on our first question. Laundrie Fields asks to rank all of our players in terms of trade value and then discuss what each player could net in return. MIP Rowan, rank the top five assets that the Knicks currently own in order, can be future picks or players. So those two I combined into one question because they are, you know, a bit slightly similar. And go ahead.
Okay.
I've got nothing else.
I got my pen out because I feel like this requires making a list in real time as we're doing the podcast. So without thinking, number one, I'm going to do with the assets first, and then the players that I name on this list, I'll talk about their trade value. And please, obviously, as always, interject. The number one asset, and I don't think it's particularly close, is their 2021 draft pick. Do you think should there be a discussion about that? I don't even think that's even worthy of
a
discussion.
We're talking about in terms of trade value. Yeah, I'd go with that pick. I mean, I think there's a bit of a used car thing with draft picks. You know, the second, even if you just drove it out of the lot,
well, especially when
it out of the lot, the
especially when the car is. Yeah, especially when the car has hit 10 of its 54 threes that it's attempted.
Oh, relax.
When the car does that, it's amazing how the value of the car goes down because you have driven it off the lot and it can't
hit
the
far side of the barn. I'm going to come out very strongly as being in the RJ will be fine camp. And you will not sway me.
Listen, you could
evil words.
You could tout your brand elsewhere. So I'm already struggling. See, first segment of the first question, I'm already jammed up because there's a part of me that actually wants to say their second most valuable asset is their 2022 draft pick. But I'm not going to do that because I think they will be figure out by hook or by crook through foolish moves or smart moves. I think they'll be better next season. So that leaves me picking between RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin. Wow. I just realized I can't live it. No, you keep going.
What? Emmanuel Quigley?
Keep going.
Not Kevin Knox.
See, this is the mentality of Knicks fans. Cause I did the same thing as you, Julius Randle, man. Because guess fucking what? Guess fucking what?
Julius Randle is playing at an all NBA level.
But this is fair this game, right? Season. He didn't specify young. Did he specify young players? Okay. So number two on the list, because I think if they put Julius Randle and RJ Barrett on the block right now, I can't believe I'm saying this. And Obi Toppin. Yeah, man, this is really, 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 really tough.
You get more for Julius than Obi.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Oh, he was just the eighth pick in the draft, and he has
in a draft that every scout knew was weak. You have an all NBA guy. What's the question?
Because one guy is
25 and the other's 22.
Very funny. Obi's ceiling is higher. He's under contract for longer. Team control for much longer, obviously, the whole thing. And then RJ does deserve to be in this discussion. All three of the guys deserve to be in the discussion. I'm going with my, oh man. I'm going with my gut here. I'm putting Obi Toppin two. I'm putting
I cannot think that you're getting that much in a deal for Obi. Or maybe I'm thinking about it wrong, because I'm thinking about what you'd get offered for this player as opposed to what kind of player this player can get you in a larger deal.
You know what, actually? No, you're right.
But who's you're calling and saying, take the farm for Obi Toppin?
No, because here was my rationale. I was like, no, some team would give up something real. So I'm thinking, okay, would they give up? Well, listen, would they give up a commensurate, the same draft pick in next year's draft, which is, or the equivalent draft pick in next year's draft for Obi Toppin?
No, they would not. I told you, everyone knew it's a weak draft.
And because the equivalent draft pick in next year's draft is, I think, roughly the 13th, 14th, 15th pick, as the eighth pick was this year. So let's just say, for argument's sake, some team would do that. Then I have to ask myself, would the Knicks trade Julius Randle for the 15th pick in next year's draft? And God, I don't think that they would. I think they would want more than that. So I am putting
Randle over Toppin.
Randle 2, Obi Toppin 3, RJ 4. Oh God, how the mighty have fallen. And I am putting we just saw Jared Allen net the equivalent of the 28th pick in the draft, and I think there is some discrepancy amongst people in the league as to which of those players is eventually going to be better. We all obviously believe in Mitch and his ceiling and the whole thing, but so no, I can't put Mitch fifth. I'm going to put Quickly.
Wow.
And the only
that's interesting.
He's
anchoring a good defense. It's not potential anymore. It pissed me off last year that everyone treated Mitch's potential as a tangible skill, which it was not. But this year, he's on the court and not fouling, and the stocks are going up. Both.
Yeah, but he's not going bad. Trust me. I looked at these numbers today. The Knicks, even when Mitch is in the game, they would, if we took those minutes that Mitch was in the game and we extrapolated it over 48 minutes and made that opponent.
Who's Mitch
rim,
sharing the court? I feel like.
I think Julius Randle's played good defense. I think RJ Barrett's played good defense. Obviously, the point of attack defense sucks, but like, you know,
well,
he is sharing the court with commensurate NBA defenders. And again, when he's out there, the teams are getting into shots at the rim at a rate that would rank like 18th, 19th, 20th in the league, somewhere around that. So that's like he's not really deterring people from going down there, which again is not all his fault. He's being pulled out of the paint. We see this every night. I get it, but I just like he's not Gobert in terms of his impact yet. Maybe he becomes that. Okay, we talked for too long, but I'm putting Quickly fifth. And the only thing I'm wondering is, should I have snuck the 2022 draft pick somewhere?
That might go over Quickly, but yeah. I agree that they're going to try to be good. So,
okay. I can't do that. I got to see more from the kid. All right. So here's final answer. 2021 first rounder, Randle 2, Toppin 3, Barrett 4, the Knicks 2022 first, 5. And even that's wrong, because if you asked every team in the league, would you rather have RJ Barrett or the Knicks 2022 unprotected first round pick? There is not a team in the league that would choose RJ Barrett. So I'm going to flip those.
Wow.
There isn't.
That's just
mean,
a lot.
True. What?
It's just a lot.
Shit, now I'm wondering if I have 22. Okay, we have to move on. So I'm flipping the 2022 first with Barrett. So it's 21 first, Randle Toppin, 22 first, Barrett. And what trade value the other part of the question was, what trade value do each of these guys have? I think Randle at this point is worth a middling first and a young player that will help you in some way. Not like a top line young player, but I think he's worth a pick and a player. I think Obi Toppin is worth, I think Obi Toppin's worth like the 15th pick in an average draft. I think RJ Barrett's worth a little. And I think the 2022 first is going to be a middling pick in an average, in a pretty decent draft. And I think RJ Barrett's worth slightly less than that. So there you go. Okay. We only spent 10 minutes on the first question. We're off to a roaring start here. Wow. I think the other ones will get a little faster though.
Well, this next one is a three parter. So,
oh Jesus, I spoke too soon.
Knicks Illustrated with a three parter. Number one, can the idealized versions of RJ and Randall coexist on the court?
Sure, because that means RJ's a shooter. So yeah, he could coexist. Next,
can the idealized versions of Randall and Obi coexist on the court?
1,000%, because it means Obi becomes a shooter. Next. And actually, the idealized version of Randall is also
he's shooting 30.
We can't listen. We can only stretch the boundaries.
Which one of those two are you having protect the rim, John?
I was about to say bandwagon, except we don't need a wagon. We need like a clown car. To fit, because nobody else is joining me. I do think the idealized version of Obi Toppin can give you enough rim protection to
be a really good backup five.
No, I think he could to be a center for, you know, 10 minutes a game in the playoffs, or 15 minutes a game in the playoffs. Absolutely. Why not? The dude, the effort is there. His awareness is pretty good. He could jump really high, and if you're the problems with Toppin with his defense come from, as we watched on the video that we did, it's hips, it's like movement, it's all that shit. You could be a pretty decent rim protector and not necessarily have those skills. So,
right.
Okay. What was the third part?
Do you think Tibbs is going to push to trade for a player that better complements Randall before the deadline this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. Do I think he'll push? Do I think Tibbs will? I think Tibbs is probably pushing for.
Yeah, I think Tibbs is banging on Leon's door. Like, please, Leon, somebody.
Yeah. Because like, if you're really paying attention to the games and you look at Tibbs' substitution patterns, I believe he is looking for every excuse not to play Peyton. I think he puts in Peyton when it's like it's six of one, half dozen of the other, and he's just gonna, like, if the guys are playing this at the same level, I feel like over the course of the first 12 games, when we've seen that, he'll give quickly like a 10-minute run, and then he'll put Peyton back in. But yeah, shit, sure. I think he's pushing for it. I would be too, and I don't blame him for pushing for it. They're giving him, forget chicken shit to make chicken salad. They're giving him the bones that the chicken shit on. It's not fair. It's yeah.
Well, on the topic of
chicken shit,
pretty much Elfrid Payton.
That's mean. Elfrid Payton's, okay, just say, I got a chance to like ask him questions in the locker room probably like twice last year. He's a really, really nice guy. And I stand by what I said in the offseason. $5 million, it's fine. It's just the fit is just the absolute worst fit in the NBA. Keep going.
Well, Joe wants to know, what's the farthest range you think you and Macri could take a shot from and still be more confident in making it than you would Elfrid Payton?
Zero feet. I think there's no distance by which I would feel like I'm more confident in my own abilities to make a shot than I am not an athlete. I would never pretend to be one. So yeah. You?
3-pointer.
Can you make a three? You can make a three?
I'm going to go with 3-pointer. I think 100.
I mean, he's shooting like 30% on the year, I think, or in the high 20s or something. It's not like he hasn't made any.
If you let Fred and I go 100 shots, maybe I can beat him by one out of 100. If I can hit like 60, he makes like 59. Call it a day.
I just looked it up. He's hitting. No, I actually undersold him. He's hitting a third of his 3-pointers this season.
On how many attempts?
Oh, don't. Why would you ask that question? Go ahead. 2.3 attempts per game. Listen,
cares about the percentage? If it's two a game,
yes, someone told me.
Someone told me it was during the pre-draft process, and I wrote an article about Precious Achiuwa.
Oh, okay.
I said he can't shoot. Someone says, well, he made a third of his three-pointers.
What did he take, seven? 0.8
attempts per game. Okay. 0.8 attempts per game. Hey, hey.
Yeah, we don't need threes. We don't need to talk about Elfrid Payton's three-point shot anymore. Okay, next question. Then we're going to take quick ad break. Yes.
Next question comes from friend of the show, Ray.
Oh, hey, Ray.
Is Kevin Knox, one, showing more improvement than RJ? Two, looking better because of limited time? Or three, starting to become the young player to watch over RJ? I'm going to let you just share your thoughts.
Did you hear that heavy breathing? That was Mike contemplative. No, okay. He's not the young player to watch over RJ Barrett. RJ Barrett's the reason why it's been a frustrating season is because the expectations for RJ when he came into the league were so high because I think most people were measured in like, look, he's going to have his struggles because of these issues that he clearly has. But I think he came in last year, and for as much as last year was a relative disappointment, I think he showed enough to continue giving, even me, who has been harder on RJ Barrett than anyone, I think he showed enough to make me feel like, okay, there is still a world where this guy turns into someone who could make a few all-star teams. And even with the shooting struggles this year, I still believe he is someone that could make a few all-star teams. Please don't ask me to put a percentage on what I believe that chance to be.
You are smart to still believe so, in my opinion.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. So then the question is about...
I'm sure.
So it's not option three. Well, do I think Knox is doing what he's doing because he's getting more limited minutes? No, I don't think...
Limited time was option two. Number one was, is he showing more improvement than RJ?
That's an interesting question to me. I don't think it's a matter of the time. I think it's a matter of comfort. I think he's feeling more comfortable and he's getting his confidence back, which is the most important thing. And I think the fact that he feels like he has the trust of the coaching staff, I think is massive. And the organization too. Has he improved more than RJ?
I mean, technically, if you look probably at increase in net rating or whatever since last year.
To me, I look at it's the areas of like, how are you going to help a team and how much have you improved in those areas? And if one guy could help a team in more ways than the other guy, I think that also needs to be factored in too. Here's the thing with RJ though. I think the improvement, close to almost all of the improvement has come on the defensive end. And on offense, I'm not 100% sure if I could name one thing and be like, ooh, yeah, he's doing that. Free throws. I think he's showing some more craftiness around the basket. I think he's showing a little bit more patience at times, not always, but like, I wrote about it a few times in the offseason. I wanted to see a jump in his playmaking. I wanted to see him become more of a passer. I wanted to see him be able to create for others. And he's averaging, he's averaging roughly the same assists per 36 minutes as he was last year. So that's been a disappointment. Knox, he was drafted to be a guy who could score and really put a little pressure on the defense. And when he comes in, even if he's not necessarily hitting threes at the rate he has been the last couple of games, I think he puts pressure on the defense. So I'll go with Knox. I think Knox has improved more. And I think he continues to make strides on defense as well.
Fair. I want to squeeze in one quick question from Chip before you get to your ad read.
Okay, sure.
Chip Murphy, of course, shout out to Chip, wants to know what the package is that gets us Devontae Graham.
You must have read my mind. Chip, I say this only because I know you're a subscriber to the Knicks Film School newsletter, so I don't feel bad by not answering your question. I actually wrote something about this very thing earlier today.
Wow.
And it'll be in Friday's KFS newsletter, which of course is today if you're listening to this. Not because I was answering this question, but because Devontae Graham came up in one of my three big questions that I have after the first 12 games. So check that out. And so look at that. It's like a double ad read. I'm reading my own ad for my own newsletter, and I'm going to read an ad for Blue Wire Hustle. Hey, everyone. I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire, our new home. Hustle was created to give everybody the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and you just don't know where to start, Hustle's the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. Best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to level up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited. So please get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. But once again, that's bwhustle.com/join. Let's keep going. We have how much we have left on the timer here? We got 23:56 and counting down. All right.
Well, this next one is a... It's connected a bit to what you were saying in response to the last question. Scott wants to know, now that we're 12 games in, what moves can you see the Knicks making to improve the team and or build up more assets?
Okay, the only move I could see them making to build up more assets is trading Randall, because I just don't think they're going to move. Let me take a step back. I don't think they have any other pieces on the roster that they could move for like a first round pick. And I don't think they're in a rush to trade a guy like Burks, who obviously, I don't know who's trading for.
I thought if Noel looked real good, we would be able to take like Burks and Noel first from someone like Denver. But
I don't think Denver, like Denver's not playing Nerlens Noel. That dude's not getting on the floor for, I don't think so.
He hasn't looked how I would have liked for that deal to be realistic.
If you are curious what a guy like Burks or Noel or Bullock or whatever, you know, Elfrid Payton, God forbid, could get, think back to last season where the Knicks got the 27th pick in the draft, the 27th pick in a bad draft for a guy who was averaging 20 a game and was literally, I think, leading the league in three-point shooting for much of the season, and was like taking tough shot after tough shot, his switchable defender, the whole thing. That dude only got the 27th pick in the draft. So I don't think they're going to trade away any of these other pieces. because I don't think they're going to – they have enough second round. Not that you ever have enough second round picks, but I think they have a lot of second round picks. I'd rather just hold on to the guys. So it's a question of, do I think they're going to trade Randall? Ultimately, no, I don't think they're going to trade Randall. And then that turns to the other part of the question, which is, do I think they're going to make a move to upgrade now? Again, I'm borrowing from today's newsletter. I keep going back to New Orleans. I keep going back to New Orleans. Bledsoe. First of all, Lonzo Ball is shooting 30% from three on the year. Alfred Payton.
I'm not
is shooting at a better percentage than.
I'm not trying to make the Lonzo case in general. I just think if we're acquiring a point guard from New Orleans, I'd probably prefer to invest basically in our development staff that we already invested in and see what they could do with someone with the skills of Lonzo Ball.
And I would rather take a guy like Eric Bledsoe and give him to Tibbs, because Tibbs has shown time and again he could take point guards that have skills and absolutely get the most that anyone has ever gotten.
So our team is Bledsoe, Randall, Barrett, Toppin, Mitch, those are your guys. That's it. Like, what Bledsoe and Randall is getting you where? What's the point of investing that much time in
getting us where? It's getting us to the place where I don't have to do my halftime Zooms and my post-game YouTube lives with my head in my fucking hands because I'm sick and tired of watching this team pretend to play basketball, not because of a lack of effort or executing the plays that are called or anything and through any fault of their own. It's because they don't have a goddamn point guard who could keep a defense honest. So yeah, that's why. Yes, that is where it's getting us. It's protecting my liver. Shit. No, I just it's not fair. I think at this point to the other guys on the roster. You know, imagine Julius Randle. God bless him. He's been a good soldier all the way. He keeps saying all the right things in these post game press conferences and media availability and everything. Can you imagine how frustrating it must be for that guy? To be like, I'm playing at an all NBA level and I have literally the worst surrounding talent in the league around me, aside from, you know, Mitchell Robinson and
right,
you know, Barrett will put aside. Yeah, man. I would trade for Eric Bledsoe, especially because last thing I'll say on I don't know, give up Frank Ntilikina and a second round pick or something. You know, I'm not giving up like quickly or one of the I would probably even draw the. I don't even think I would give up either of the Dallas picks, but like, yeah, I'll give you a second round pick and Reggie Bullock.
That's not a debate. The Dallas picks. That's not even a question. That's
what do you mean?
Those shouldn't even be this. That 21 Dallas pick should not even be popping in your head as something to trade for Eric Bledsoe.
I was thinking more of the 23 pick, but we're not going to trade that. I don't think you should really have to give up. You should not have to give up anything of value for the right to pay Eric Bledsoe 34-35 million over the next 2 years, and then have to make a decision about his final year of his contract, of which, and this is why I would ultimately do the deal, only $4 million of that is guaranteed. So looking at the lay of the land, the Knicks are once again going to have the most cap space in the league 6 months from now. And what are they going to spend it on? I mean, there's just not much out there. So if you're telling me I can
Depot
get a serviceable – what? Who?
Bring me Depot.
Yeah, Depot ain't want to come here. Depot wants to go have some fun in the sun.
I know he wants to go to Miami.
All right, let's move on.
Cal wants to know what your ideal rotation is now that we've seen 12 games played.
Am I assuming everybody's healthy?
Yeah, sure.
My personal ideal rotation would be, I think I would start Burks, Bullock, RJ,
Bullock. Really? Bullock?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. How about this? How about we see what Bullock shoots from three when he's not literally the only guy on the floor that teams have to pay attention to? So Burks, Bullock, RJ, Randall, Mitch, and then second unit, Quickly, Rivers, Obi, Knox, and I will go with Frank.
I was going to say Frank is better than Noel.
Yeah, I'll go with Frank.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, Bernard. I know your boy's not in there, but.
Oh, don't even. We're not doing Iggy Brazdeikis. Come on. Oh, man.
I know Bernard would like to be doing Iggy Brazdeikis, but we won't talk about that. Keep going. Please.
Knicks life. Not saying we should trade him, but what's the range of deals you could see this version of Randall netting? What's the one deal you could see happening that you'd want Rose and Co. to say yes to? I agree with you that they're not going to be trading Randall, and not when he's producing like this at this cost and the control they have. But still a fun exercise just to see, temp check his value pretty much.
I think I'm spoiling it because I'm giving it away here what the trade is. I write about a trade in Friday's newsletter, so check out Friday's newsletter. But if you put two and two together with what I said before and what I'm saying now, yes, I think there is a team that would give a package that I think I would make me probably. I'd think long and hard about it, but. Here's the thing, and I'll just say this very quickly. It's really, really, really tough to find a trade partner for Randall as good as he's playing because he's not an off-ball threat. He needs the ball in his hands to be successful. So he's not Marcus Morris. He's not a guy you could plug into the Clippers starting lineup. As my daughter crawls on the floor, pretends like I don't see her. So it's not like a contender. You'd be like, oh, great. We'll go get Randall and plug him right into our lineup. But at the same time, is he going to like go to the Celtics and warrant touches more than Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Is he going to go to the Nuggets and warrant more touches than, oh, look who's here. Then Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. She's going to go to the Lakers and warrant, not again, I know they don't have like the tradable salary, more touches than like, AD and LeBron James. Like these teams have guys that they are like rely on. So then you're like, okay, well, if there's no obvious contender that's going to trade for him, it's like, well, then one of these like lesser like playoff hopefuls is going to trade for him. Well, those teams are getting smarter and smarter about their assets. That doesn't mean there might not still be a team or two out there that would be like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go for that 10th seed. And I think if I'm the Knicks, that's the team I'm looking at to see if I could get an unprotected first round pick from them. Plus a player that is at least young and interesting to me.
Gotcha. All right, next up from Nemo Padditor. Okay. Inspired by some recent listening, by the way. Assume James Dolan decided to totally revamp the Knicks FO with only Knicks podcasting crew.
Oh, Jesus.
What would be the most efficient positional distribution?
Does Spencer still count as...
I was going to say Spencer for scouting.
Screw that. I'm taking the president of basketball operations job. Let's just put that right out there.
You do get to decide here, so I would not blame you for it.
I would like for Spencer Perlman to be my general manager. I would like for Prez to be my director of college or assistant general manager in charge of college scouting.
Right.
I would like for Jeremy Cohen to be my Brock Aller, whatever. I don't know what Brock Aller's role is, but I think Jeremy fits right into that. I think I get to choose from like Knicks people that are, do Knicks podcasts.
Knicks podcasting crew. What would
Knicks
be
podcasting crew? Okay, so Alex Wolf can be, can be the. No wait, no. I'm gonna save that job. I think. No, should I? Yeah, no, no, no. Okay. I'm gonna make Alex Wolf's gonna be the World Wide West. I think Alex has to be World Wide West. And I need a director of pro scouting. Who does a Knicks podcast that watches a ton of NBA games? Huh. You watch a lot of NBA. Do you want to be my director of pro scouting?
I was going to say if we're doing.
Oh, no, Tom. Sorry. No offense. Tom. Tom Piccolo. Tom's going to be. You get assist Tom. All right. And then
Tom, we can have Tyrese London assist Prez.
Yeah, that works.
Scouting.
That works. Are there any other roles to fill? I don't think so.
You have.
Oh, no, I know. Actually, no. You know what I want you to do? You could be the Alex Klein, the boy wonder. And then Schwinn and Drew could be the people that get you water when you're thirsty. I think that's a proper distribution for the Knicks podcasting. And JB can own the franchise. Okay. Next up, please.
I can't even say anything about that. Next up, the listeners are – buckle up. Bernard.
Oh, God.
Bernard has a question. Okay. What do you make of the Arnie Hammer cannibalism story? And follow up. Which current NBA player is most likely to be a secret cannibal?
So Bernard,
I'm gonna remove myself for like.
Do you know legal, about this story?
Like, it's the movie you guys had me watch, and the guy who was in it twice. Yeah,
wait,
the Winklevoss twins.
Oh yeah, the movie you guys had me watch. It's the most important movie of your generation. The movie you guys had me watch. My Lord. Bernard cheated here because he sent me a link to this story after he sent this question. I have read this. I am familiar with the story. It is. I'm not 100% sure that I believe it. But if an NBA player that would send the type of texts that Army Hammer sent to his to the people that he was interested in, I guess. I don't know. Oh man, who's a freaky NBA player? Who's like a low key, you wouldn't expect it by looking at him, really like freak of the week sort of dude?
Have you ever seen Vivek did some digging and found an old Reddit post about a certain 284 pound friend of the New York Knicks had some stuff going on back when he was with Atlanta.
I don't know who you're talking about, thankfully.
284 pounds, didn't give it away. We can get into this post pod. I'll find it for you.
284 pounds. Who the hell is 284 pounds? Oh, that dude. No, I'm not picking him. And Kyrie's too obvious.
Frank. Oh, come on with the cheap shot at Kyrie.
Frank. You know why my answer is Frank? Because I think you only resort to this nasty shit when you just get whatever you want from women and you're just so bored and you need to think of new ways to get your rocks off, and you're just, you know, cannibalism is like the next frontier. So yes, I think Frank Ntilikina is the closet cannibal of the NBA.
The next film school podcast. Wow. Andrew Basta.
Yes. Cat your tongue, Chris.
I can't just carry on with my day like I didn't just
you,
hear.
You can.
Starters outside of Randall are shooting. What is the delay in starting IQ and Knox? Knox, offensively and defensively, has been much improved. with playing time, and IQ is far better than Peyton. Also, are there any Knicks that are going to be the this year's Marcus Morris first round pick fetching type of asset, which we touched on? But
yeah, no to that part. I think that the quickly part of it is easier because I think the coach has some serious reservations about tossing a rookie who's still young, still learning, into the starting lineup. And I think Tibbs is the type of guy, this is my guess. I don't know if this is right, but my guess is
Ron Harper, Sitch.
Ron Harper. No, right. It's like, I think he's the type of guy that just being able to depend on that the players he puts on the court do the things that they're supposed to do and are in the places that they are supposed to be. Maybe that's a better way to say it. And that he could rely on them executing from the standpoint of like, we practice it this way. I want you to do it this way. Whereas quickly has a higher ceiling because of what he's able to do that Peyton clearly isn't. But I think as a rookie, Tibbs has less confidence that he is going to be as consistent with, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's. Is that the proper way to make decisions? I've never coached basketball. I can't speak to that. I would think that at some point we're going to get a change. I don't know if it's going to be quickly, but and Knox, I just think it's a matter of baby steps, and like it's going well so far. Kid's got his confidence. There's not too much pressure on him. He's not forced to defend the opposing teams, like really. So, I mean, with some exceptions, I think he was on Durant a possession or two last night, which did not. Well, so that's why you don't start Kevin Knox, because there's a lot of freaking really good wings in this league, and starting Kevin Knox at the three puts him on all of those dudes. And I don't think I think Tibbs wants him to go out there.
That's Clyde.
Yeah, concentrate on
the Matador defense.
Well, folks. Do your thing. Don't worry about having to stop Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard and, like, you know, whoever, all right. The other wings in the league. That's why I think he's not starting.
It's having him in a real role that he can find success.
Yeah, and I also think they like RJ at the two.
All right. Really? I thought that report came out that they liked him at the three. What's up with that?
Sorry, what did I say? I said two, I meant three. Yeah, sorry, three.
Okay, RJ at the three. I agree. Good. Next question is from Vivek. My answer to this question would be when it still happens when everyone's back, but we'll see what you think. When will Tibbs have to answer questions about players playing too many minutes? Had to get a minutes question in.
When will he have to? I think if there's a game that is out of hand and he leaves players in for a while, I don't think it's going to come before like the 20 game mark though. I could see someone starting to ask those questions around 20, 25 games. But like, here's the other thing. And now this is like something that I'm starting to think about. Like, yes, as a person asking these questions, like, you have the responsibility to ask the question that is like is about the most important thing. So if you're a reporter and the Knicks minutes that are being played is like, in your estimation, the most important thing, which I don't know whether fans are ever going to agree with that, but let's just, for argument's sake, say like with your journalistic integrity, you think that that's the most important thing going on with the Knicks right now. And you feel an obligation to ask that question, it's also going to be like a waste of a question, because you know what you're going to get from Tibbs. You're going to get some gobbledygook answer that you're not really going to be able to use. And like, yes, does it set you up to be able to continue asking that question? But then that opens up a whole other can of worms, because, you know, it's complicated, because there's like, you get picked to ask these questions. So right. if you keep barking up the same tree, and it's not a tree that, you know, the powers that be want barked up. So
Ice baths.
What's that?
ice baths, anyone?
Ice baths, I remember that. Yeah, so I don't know. I think you might. I think we actually might be in the clear with the minutes questions. All right, what's next up?
Penultimate question for Mickey Dimebags.
Mickey,
how much Dimebags? Do you think? Did I stutter?
No, I actually know what a dime bag is.
Mickey Dimebags is. Listen, I'm just reading off the.
You're just reading the cue cards. It's fine.
I'm just reading off John. Come on. How much do you think our current team's roster is limiting RJ's true ability? I feel like half the time he's being played as a shooter when he needs to take guys one-on-one and have better spacing to attack the rim.
Yeah, I mean, just go check out the newsletter that Tom did, Tom Piccolo, earlier this week. He had a couple of great clips about how much when they play Randall at center, the spacing opens up for RJ. I think that much is obvious, but I don't think it's the roster. I think it's the rotation, and I think specifically it's a starting lineup, which is why we want to see more of – we want to see a change of point guard. But I think, you know, I think there's also a conversation about further staggering RJ, Randall, and Mitch's minutes such that you only have two of them on the floor at the same time, but that's really tough, and that gets into the bigger picture issues with building this roster, which is why I wrote today or yesterday about, like, with Randall's play, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here, but with Randall's play now being elevated – and him no longer being a guy like, all right, well, Randall will be gone when he's gone. No.
Right.
Because it sets up an interesting situation where if you have three core components, to say nothing of Obi Toppin, whether he shoots, whether he should be shooting it that much, it's like you got a lot of guys that benefit from space, and these guys are all on the same roster. So there is, you know, and this plays into the Randall trade. We didn't even make it to the end of the damn 45. I'll give a 5 minute grace period. This all factors together in terms of, do you move Randall? Do you keep Randall? Do you, you know, what do you do? It's tough, but yeah, it's absolutely limiting him.
All right. And last question is from Chad Cohen.
Okay.
Why is Elfrid Payton?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, it's so funny. I'm like looking up right now as you asked me that question, and I'm looking at a picture of my wife's sonogram or ultrasound. What is it?
Fascinated to see where this is going.
Well, no, you asked me like, why is Elfrid Payton? And I look up and I see a picture of a child in a womb. Right. You know, he's a product of the love that two people share with each other, and the magic and the magic and the glory and the miracle of life and all that bullshit. I'm going to put a five minute grace period on the clock. And we're going to let's rattle through some of these.
I have the original. Yeah.
Just start reading questions off. 5 minutes. Go.
Julius, Dr. J. Randall. Should the Knicks wait for Lonzo to hit free agency, or should they try and go get him now? Ha ha.
Neither.
Hot dog, how much prospect film would you say you guys watch in an off season?
I don't know how to answer that because this is the first off season that I ever really got heavy into prospect film, and Same. It was an off season unlike any other. So I think in a normal off season, I would say 10 hours a week.
Sure. All right. Nickinator, does at JC Macri NBA own a Frank Ntilikina jersey?
I own a French Prince t-shirt that my wife purchased for me as a gift, and also a framed autographed photograph of Frank Ntilikina that is hanging on my wall. I do not own a Frank Ntilikina jersey, nor do I own a jersey of any player that has played in the NBA in the last like several years. I think that the newest jersey I own is a Stoudemire jersey.
Should the Knicks buy low on some deflated lottery player types, Bagley, Laurie, etc., from Nino Brown, Stuchik?
It depends how low. I don't love, especially now that you could have probably talked me into Bagley before this season, but now that they drafted Toppin, I don't love the fit. And right. Laurie, same thing. It's like, we don't need another big. So, and I don't know what lottery guards or wings out there that are like still kind of promising. Monk. Yeah, no, sorry. That's going to be a no for me. Yeah. Though. All right. Next.
Obi Barrett, which current or past player most closely resembles the best case scenario of Quickly's ceiling?
CJ McCollum.
Wow. All right. Do you think Alfred belongs on any NBA roster? Yes, I do.
Absolutely. Yeah. He could be a useful player. And again, right. Because we shit on this guy a lot, for as much as we complain about his effect on the Knicks and lessening their shooting, if he was on a team that had a lot of spacing and had a lot of shooting, I think he would be a really, really valuable player. Not like a starter level player, but he would be a guy who could help a team in several ways. Okay, next.
Gotcha. All right. Would you trade Julius Randle plus Bullock to the Hawks for Tony Snell, Cam Reddish, and a 2021 first from Atlanta? John Collins not being extended, this would be his replacement.
Well, the Hawks wouldn't do that in season because Collins is still there. Unless right. It was like a three-way deal that sent Collins elsewhere. But like, so wait, I'm getting Reddish. I'm trading Randall and Bullock.
And you're getting Snell, Reddish, and Atlanta's 2021 first.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. I knew you'd be very against trading Randall, so I didn't put it in the original. I didn't put it in the original set of questions because I didn't think you'd trade Randall for much anything else.
Yeah, no, I'd do that.
I'd do that deal too.
I'm Reddish on like
on Reddish.
Yeah, Reddish on like the 16th pick in this draft for Randall and yeah, fuck yeah, sure, I'd do that.
All right, let me grab one more. Let's see.
We have 30 seconds left.
Can RJ take Randall's role on offense even at 75%, giving the Knicks an extra spot in the lineup for a shooter and also making Randall a trade chip? From Luis Cruz.
So wait,
be the type of offensive fulcrum that Randall is right now?
No, God, no. I mean, we've seen RJ play minutes without Randall and try to run the offense, and it has not gone well. I do think that there is a world, and we'll close out on this, where they could, and I just say this because we haven't seen Obi Toppin yet, so sky's the limit, right? I do think there's a world where if you insert Toppin in as the starting four, and you get something back for Randall that is a present day asset in addition to a pick, and you upgrade the starting lineup at the point guard position, I think there's
is this OB can be an offensive fulcrum propaganda?
No, it's a it's a remove two non, and I know I'm calling Randall a non-shooter and he's shooting 34% from three. So, but a guy who non-shooter and then nobody is going to guard him. You're taking two non-shooters out of the starting lineup and Randall and Payton, and you're inserting, let's say, a point guard that you got in a Randall deal who theoretically can shoot and Obi Toppin who can shoot. All of a sudden, between those guys and the spacing that you'll open up for RJ and Mitch for that matter, I think the sum total could approximate the offensive impact that that you're losing if you trade away.
I'm in on that take.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good question. Okay.
All right.
We did it. This was good. We're keeping it under an hour?
That's up to your determination. I have no idea what time.
I think we kept it under an hour. So this was good.
Beats
Chris,
me.
Why don't you plug you always have a million things going on. Plug what you got going on.
I do indeed have a million things going on. So if you want to go check out the latest episode of One on One Nightly with WFUV Sports, I was able to be essentially the C host for that with Dylan Balsamo and Sam. Just what a great episode, in my opinion, getting to break down the Brooklyn deal and everything. So WFUV
what's
Sports.
After, what's after C host? D-girl?
There's we have our producer. I mean, that'll be my innocent response to that. Got the producer also.
All right, keep plugging away.
So WFUV Sports One on One Nightly, I was able to be on the last episode of that. My two podcasts, To a Tolerable Degree and Bleed Orange and Blue, both have new episodes out. And if you want to go check out my Twitter at Chris Persiainen, every time there is a Nick game, you can go to my Twitter at halftime of said Nick game. And I will be live chatting with everyone, checking in and breaking down the first half of Nick's basketball, good or bad. So that's everything I've got going on. John, I'll see you in 12 games. It was great to be on the show, as always.
The pleasure is all mine. It really is. Everybody out there, I hope you enjoy this. I really do like doing these episodes. One, because I love to give Chris shit, because it keeps me young. But also I love always hearing these.
Listen, anyone who grew up, yeah, and has your depth of basketball experience. I mean, I'll never be able to tell anyone I saw Will Chamberlain play live.
I thought you were. I thought that was actually. I got fooled into thinking that was a real compliment for a minute. Bad job. Bad job by me. I love hearing the questions that people have on their mind, because it. I don't get a chance to go on Twitter as much as I used to, and this helps me. Make sure I'm kept abreast of what people are thinking and wondering about with this team. So it's very helpful. I appreciate you. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Knicks Film School podcast. We will be back with you. What's the next episode? Me and Jeremy are doing our usual Monday show. So we will talk to you then. Adios.